First of all, I'd like to join the other brethren in welcoming everybody out here this morning. Really appreciate you being here with us so that we can study another portion of God's Word. And singing has been great so far, and I really appreciate all the participation. And hopefully you'll continue to participate as we study God's Word and get something out of it. I know as me and Shannon study these subjects, we sure get a lot out of it when we're putting it together. So I hope it's beneficial to you as well. This morning we're going to be continuing our series talking about this tree planted by the water, which comes out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. So if you want to go ahead and turn over there, that'll be our first passage. Looking at the previous studies, we have looked at different ways we can be like this tree planted by the water. So let's look at Jeremiah 17 and read verse 7 and 8 to begin. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a plea planted by the water, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." So it gives us a few characteristics about this tree. It tells us that its roots will be spread out by the river, and it'll be able to take in this nourishment. It's not going to fear when heat comes, because it has plenty of nourishment to overtake it. It's not going to fear hard times. Its leaf will always be green. It's a nice, healthy tree. And also, it's not going to be anxious in the year of drought. It doesn't worry about the things it can't control. And it never ceases from yielding fruit. It's always bearing fruit for others to enjoy. So in the previous studies, a couple things we have looked at. In the first one, we've looked at how prayer and meditation can help us be like this tree planted by the water. And how it can get our mind right in the right place and be able to trust in God. In the second study, we looked at individual and group studying along with fellowship, and how that can help us to learn more about God's will so we can take in the nourishment like this tree planted by the water. So in this study, we're going to conclude our series by looking at one more way we can be like this tree. We're going to look at how we can grow our roots stronger in Christ, and specifically this time, we're going to be looking at how we can be bearing fruit for the kingdom in a specific way. In the first study, we looked at this, and we're going to look at it again in Matthew chapter 7. Reading verse 17 through 19, Jesus says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So when we looked at this in the first part of the series, we looked at that you must be a good tree to bring forth good fruit. In order to produce good fruit, you have to take in good nourishment. So we looked at, in the first couple ones, how we can take in good nourishment. And this time we're going to be looking at, now we've taken in the nourishment, how can we be able to produce the good fruit? And then what we're going to be talking about this morning is specifically serving others and producing fruit in our service towards one another. So we can look at serving others in multiple ways. Now when we talk about giving or helping those in need or anything like that, most of the time we think about money, just right off the bat. That's only one way you can help serve others. So I want to look at multiple ways we can help others. If we look over in the book of Acts chapter 18 and reading verse 3, Acts chapter 18 verse 3, it's talking about Paul. It says, "And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers." So this is when Paul went and stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. And he stayed with them because they were of the same craft. They both had the same occupation. They were tent makers. This one key word, it says, "and he wrought." That means he labored. He stayed with Aquila and Priscilla and he labored with them. He used his physical talent and his occupation of being a tent maker and used it to the benefit of Aquila and Priscilla. And in return, he stayed with them. So when we look at this, many of us have different talents. Many of us have different occupations we can do. We've got mechanics. We've got many people who are really good cooks. We've got people who are good with bookkeeping. We've got so many different things. We've got people who are great listeners. We all have our individual talents that God has blessed us with. And with this verse, Paul used his talent of being a tent maker, and he labored with Aquila and Priscilla, and he helped them with it. Likewise, we can do the same thing with our talents. We can labor with one another. We can help each other out so we can bear fruit for the kingdom. So that's just one way we can serve others, is with our talents that God has given us. Another way we can serve others is simply by spending time with one another. We look over in the book of Titus, chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Titus, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now you may be looking at me now saying, what does this have to do with spending time with one another? We just looked over multiple ways that how we can show our Christian life and how we can live more like Christ and how we can be sober, be temperate, sound in faith, all these different characteristics. What in the world does that have to do with spending time with one another? Well, there's a few key words in here. It tells the older men to teach the younger men, the older women to teach the younger women. How can you do that without spending time with one another teaching? This is where it comes in. In order for us to teach other people and help other people and share our knowledge and the wisdom that we've gained from the Bible, we must spend time with one another studying and teaching and helping one another. This is spending quality time and studying and fellowshipping so we can share our knowledge and share what we've gained. So we've looked over how we can share our talents and how we can serve others with our time. Now let's look at money. How we can serve others with money. It's the most common way and the most frequent way that we think about how we can help one another is with our money. Well, if we look at helping one another with our money, the first way we can do that is, of course, giving in the collection every week. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, says, Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, says, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So Paul's writing and say, do this all the time. It says, as God has prospered you, give to the collection. So there's not any special collection when I come, but so that the work of the church may continue. It says, upon the first day of the week. Now, of course, many of us do this, and that's great. I commend you for that. We also have other examples of being able to help one another with our talents and with our money on an individual basis. And this is charitable giving personally one to another. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, reading verse 16 through 18, says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath the world's good, and seeing his brother hath need, hath shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So if we look in verse 17, right there in the middle, it says, Whoso hath the world's good, and seeing his brother hath need. That means whoso hath things that God has blessed you with. That's money, that's physical possessions, that's your homes, that's food, that's anything. That's world's good. Who has these physical blessings? And then it says, and you don't share them with those who are in need, how is the love of God in you? So this is telling us to take the things that God has blessed you with and share them to those who are in need. It says, let us not love in word or in tongue. I mean, you can say, I love you all day long. But if you don't show it, what good is it? It's just empty words. This is what he's talking about in 1 John, is to actually do something for other people. So this is individual charitable giving when we see a need. Now, one thing I want to make sure is that we're not doing it grudgingly. Not just doing it because I told you so or because the Bible told you so, but doing it because you really want to. Doing it out of a pure heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It says, don't just do it because you feel like you need to. but do it because you really want to. You can really see all the blessings that God has given you, and you really want to be able to share those blessings with other people. That's why we do it. And it says God loves a cheerful giver. If you're going to do it with a spiteful heart, it'd be better if you don't do it at all. So do it cheerfully. So we've gone over talents, time, and money, and serving others with those three things. Now there's one more thing I want to look at. And that's serving others with charitable aid. When we see a need, we help them out. We have a great example of this in the book of Luke chapter 10. We've all read the story. We're going to read it again. Luke chapter 10, reading in verse 30. It says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So of course we have this story. We always refer to it as the Good Samaritan. And he was a Good Samaritan. He did the right thing. Let's look at the other two people first. It says, for one, there is a priest. This guy was beaten and left half dead on the side of the road. There was a priest that walked by and saw him, and I'm going to go on the other side. Just keep walking on by. Now, when we consider a priest, we consider those things. I mean, those people do what's right all the time, every time. Well, they're human too. That's not always true. And then we have a Levite. He did the same thing. He saw him beaten and half dead. I'm going on the other side. I'm going around him. He didn't want to spend the time or be able to help him. He didn't see the need. And then we have the Samaritan. The Samaritan, as he journeyed, came and he saw him. It says he had compassion on him. He went and bound up his wounds. He went and took care of him. He helped him out. He could have saved his life. Said he was beaten and left half dead. If he would have stayed there, he might have died. Well, the Samaritan helped him out because he saw the need. And he took him to an inn and he made sure he was okay. He spent the time that it took to give charitable aid to this guy who was beaten and half dead. So he saw an injured man and he decided to tend to him and help him out. We also have another example that we can read about, and this is Jesus talking to us. In Matthew chapter 25, reading verse 34 through 30, it says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So it's talking about the judgment day. It's talking about when we're standing before Jesus and when he's saying, come in on the right or depart on the left. This is where he's going. In verse 35, for I was an hunger and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So talking about the judgment day, when Jesus is talking to us and the Father is saying, come in on the right, he's saying, look, you did all these great things. You saw these needs and you gave in aid. You helped out. And the response is, well, when did we see you that? When did we see you hungry? Or when did we see you thirsty and helped you out? And Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, when you do it to someone in need, you're doing it to him. And I'd be willing to bet any of us out there, if we were walking down the street and we saw Jesus and we knew it was Jesus and he was hungry, none of us would dare to slow down. We would go help him out and go give him food. None of us would think twice about it. So Jesus is telling us when we do it to the least of these, his brethren, it's just like we're doing it to him. So let's keep that in mind. When we see needs arise throughout the day or throughout our week, when we see things come up, remember it's just like doing it to Jesus. And that he will remember the things we do. So we've talked about being able to serve others in multiple ways. And there's another way that I want to show how you can serve your brothers and sisters. And that's how you can serve them in the assembly. Here this morning, or this evening, or Wednesday night. Anytime there is an assembly, how you can be of service to your brothers and sisters that way. Well, the first way is simply by being here. So I'd like to commend you this morning for making the choice to be here, to serve me, and to serve your others and brothers and sisters. I really appreciate you being here this morning. If we look over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Writer of Hebrews is telling us to not forsake the assembly. That means be here. When the assembly is going on, you're here. What does he tell us? He says there's a couple things. Right before it says, provoke unto love and to good works. And then after it says, exhort one another. So to help each other do more love and more good works and encourage other people and lift up one another, and edify one another. Well, to me, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, you can't do those things if you're not here. There's no way to exhort another person if you're not around. There's no way to provoke unto love and to good works if you're not here. So you did good this morning. You made the right choice. You came here this morning, and I hope that you'll continue to come any time the assembly is going on. Now, presence in the assembly is not the only thing. We also must be able to participate in the service. And that comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 and 26. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12 says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." And this chapter is specifically talking about being in the assembly service. So it says, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. We should desire to edify one another. It doesn't say seek that so you may be edified. It says seek so that you may edify others. You know, there's a lot of people who they specifically pick which church they're going to go to with where they feel the most feeling or emotion, where they feel like it's the best fit for them, where they feel they've been the most edified. A lot of people pick their services that way. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us to pick the church where, for one, you can edify other people. It's doing what God has commanded us to do in the service, and you go so you can serve other people. It doesn't say you go to church so you can be served. So my question is, again, just like in Hebrews, we talked about how can you do this without being present. So now, how can you edify without participating? When you participate in the service, and that's singing, and that's praying, helping if the elders call upon you to do certain things, that is edifying to the church. Also, in verse 26, it says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." So we should seek to edify one another in any way that we possibly can. So when we are present and participating in the service, we can know for sure that we're exhorting one another, we're serving one another, and we're edifying one another. Now looking at the flip side of serving and this having a servant's attitude, we've talked about so far this morning how we can serve one another and how that will help us be like this tree planted by the water so we can bear fruit for the kingdom continually. Looking at the flip side, I want to talk about receiving service. In order for someone to give service, there has to be a partaker to receive the service. Let's look over in Philippians chapter 4, reading 14 through 18. Philippians 4, verse 14, it says, "Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, which I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he's telling them that I have received the gifts that you sent. And I appreciate that. You have given to my necessity. Look in verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I appreciate the things that you've sent to me, not because I wanted it, but I desire that you may have the opportunity to give. It's kind of hard for us to imagine, isn't it? We receive a gift because we want to give an opportunity for someone else to give. He didn't need it, but he willingly accepted it so others could benefit. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Paul, writing again now to the church of Corinth, says, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So this is Paul saying that he's not being a burden. Even when he accepts things, he knows it's not burdensome to them. And if it was, they wouldn't be giving. So he tells them in Philippians, he says, I desire that fruit may abound to your account. And now in 2 Corinthians, he's saying that I know when I partake of these things and when I take these gifts you give, that it's not a burdensome to you, and I will make sure that I'm never a burdensome to you. So it's really hard for us to understand this way of thinking, of accepting gifts from one another. And I think the reason that it's hard for us is because we don't want others to think that we need anything. We want to always make sure that we're given the impression that we can handle it ourselves. And we can just take care of it. We don't need you to give me anything. We don't need charitable aid. We don't need your money. We don't need your talents. We've got this. Now those phrases I just said scream of pride. Every single thing I said is all about me. I can do it. I don't need your help. That's all pride. So let's look in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. It says, pride will come before shame, and shame will come after pride. And now Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So shame will come after pride, and destruction will come after pride. So when others have things they want to give you, they want to help you out in a time of need, or whether you feel like it's not even a time of need, they want to share their talents with you, they want to share their time with you, and give you things that may be able to help you out, let them. Be as Paul said in Philippians, let them be able to add to their account, and don't deny them of that privilege. So I hope that you've seen from the study this morning the importance of serving others and always looking for ways to come from contribution and allowing others to serve you when the time is right. There are multiple ways you can be of service, and that does not mean you have to have a lot physically. I want to make sure that point's very clear. You don't have to have a lot in order to give a lot. That can be your time, your talents. It can be anything that you can share with other people. It can be coming to the service and participating here. That's part of serving one another. And remember these next few verses as we conclude the service. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember this as you continue out throughout your week, how we can serve one another, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. It says, when you do this, when you serve one another, God will not forget. When you add those fruits to your account, they will stay on your account forever, and he will not forget. So when the day of judgment comes and he tells you, come in on the right hand, I know that you've done these and you've done these, you've helped support the weak, all these things, he will remember. And also, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So it tells us, once again, the same common theme. When you're doing stuff for other people, it's like you're doing it for the Lord. And it even goes on to tell us, when you do things for the Lord, he will repay you. Does that mean he'll repay you here on earth physically? No. It means he'll repay you on the day of judgment when he says, come in on the right side. Come in and enjoy this place that I have built for you. That's when God will repay the fruits that are added to your account. And this is how you can be like the tree planted by the water. You can bear fruit for the kingdom continually by serving, by helping those in need, by giving to those who could benefit of something. Well, in order to be like the tree planted by the water, in the very first place, you must begin your walk with Christ and be planted with him. And you can do that this morning with baptism and being born again a new creature in Christ's blood, being planted in Christ so that you can grow up, so that you can take in the nourishment, which we've talked about in the previous studies, and so that you can bear fruit for his kingdom and that they will be added to your account. If you would like to do that this morning, we can help you with that. We have the facilities ready for any of you who would like to be planted in Christ in baptism this morning. Or if you feel like after going through this lesson or any part of the series that you've not been the brother or sister that you need to be by serving one another, by helping one another, by doing the things for Christ that we know we are commanded to do, if you need help with that this morning, then we can help you change today. We can study with you. We can pray for you. We can do whatever you need. And we can serve you as we talked about this morning. So don't deny us of that privilege. If you need service this morning, whether it's to be planted in Christ or to have prayers for you or to study with you, then let us help you. Come have a seat on the front pew as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.